seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, called butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see is the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, have you ever thought about one of those large folding smartphones? Or did you think they'd be the next big thing a few years ago and wondered what happened to them because you haven't seen many of your friends using them? Well, they haven't actually gone away, and I'm here to tell you which is the best one currently to buy. JJ Clark, have you ever wanted a large folding phone?
Yeah, I don't think I necessarily want a large one, but I'd like a large, or well, no, I'd like a decent foldable phone that doesn't have an obvious crease line, because I've watched a couple of friends have foldable phones, and the obvious crease line in the middle really puts me off.
The bad news for you is it doesn't exist. There is no folding phone on the market at present that does not have a visible crease line. So that is something that you have to come to terms with. Now, having tested most of the ones on the market, from the smaller flip models like Samsung, which is the best-selling model, to the larger folding phones, which we're going to focus on today, you start to not notice it after a while. It's a little bit like a notch on an iPhone. Everybody gave out about it when it was there, the little notch. And then kind of after a few weeks of use, you just sort of forget it's there and you just sort of accept it. But yet you're right, it does take away from the aesthetic perfection.
Yeah, it's like two screens together and you're sort of perceiving the line in the middle all the time. But which is the best in class? Yeah.
So let me define what we're talking about here. When we talk about a large folding phone, we're talking about a device that looks like a normal large smartphone and mostly now has the same type of screen on the front, but it actually opens out in the middle. You can prise it open, and in the middle, mostly, this is the format most models use, there's a giant screen, a giant square screen, usually somewhere between 7.5 and 8 inches in size, which is almost exactly twice the size of the normal screen of a smartphone. So you actually have three screens. Not only do you have three screens, but you tend to have five cameras because you have three cameras on the back as if you were using it as a normal phone when it's folded over, and that's your ultra-wide, your main, and your telephoto. You have a selfie one on the front. And then when you open it out, you have to have another selfie one. Because if you're using it that way and you want to do a Zoom call or something like that, you have to have a fifth camera there. Now, you asked, I think, what's the best one?
Yep.
I'll get right to the point with that. There are three main models that are on the Irish market. There is the bestseller, which is Samsung's Galaxy Z Fold 5. So it's the fifth edition of Samsung's folding phone. They were really the ones who pioneered this category, and they sell the most phones in the large format and the smaller flip format. You then have Google's Pixel Fold, which has been available in Irish shops for a few months. And you have the newest entrance, which is Honor, which is Honor's Magic V2. They range from €1,700 to €2,100. And the best one is the one in the middle. It's the one that I'm reviewing this week, and it's the Honor Magic V2.
Yeah, and it's interesting, just Honor, for people who haven't heard of it, it was a subsidiary of Huawei, and so sold off, and it's now state controlled by China, by the Shenzhen prefecture now. So just if you haven't heard about it.
Yeah, the main difference between Honor and Huawei is that with Honor, you can get your normal Google apps on it. So you can have YouTube, Google, Facebook, all of those apps.
Why is that?
Because it wasn't technically part of the sanctions imposed on Huawei. So the sanctions were very specific in the US. That's a different podcast and we can get into it. For the purposes of this podcast, you can use all your normal apps on Honor.
And just with the comparison you made, you brought up Google's Pixel and Samsung, which is the bestseller. How does it compare? How does the Magic V2 compare?
It's better for one main reason. It's comparable in for most of the metrics, for power, for battery life, for roughly speaking, screen size, for cameras. They're roughly comparable. It's better for one main reason. It's much thinner and it's much more portable. In other words, in my pocket, it's almost exactly the same size as an iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Is it, and it's 9.9
slimmer.
9.9
under 10
millimeters.
So it's just under a centimeter thick, which is roughly the same as an iPhone 15 Pro Max with a thin case on it, okay, which I have on it. You compare that to the bestseller, which is Samsung's Z Fold 5, and that is, I think it's almost 13 millimeters. So it's a good 30% thicker. Google's Pixel Fold is, I think it's about 11 or 12. It's thicker. So you wouldn't think that 2 millimeters makes a difference. Believe me, it does. It's the difference between it feeling clunky and bulky in your pocket and it feeling like a normal smartphone. And the reason that this is important is that there have been two main reasons why large folding phones haven't taken off. The main one actually is the price. $2,000 for a phone. Yeah. Unless you're maxing out an iPhone 15 Pro and you're one of that tribe and you wanted 1 terabyte and all that sort of stuff, most people aren't going to go there. But the other reason is because they're big and bulky. And the only constituency that to date has been willing to go for a really expensive, big, bulky phone are middle-aged men with disposable income.
Yeah, with a lot of discretionary income.
You're talking about
people
around my age who remember BlackBerries, who remember the original Nokia communicators. Kudos to any listeners who remember that one, who kind of like the idea of whipping out a large gadget and sort of like, you know, messing around and kind of experimenting with it and tinkering with it. That's been the market that for whom large folding phones have been a wow factor. Everybody else has been, it's been a mixture of, it's kind of curious looking or that's a monstrosity.
Right. And it's, you know, this aesthetic quality that it's slightly slimmer and then the function,
a lot slimmer.
The function that it slots into your pocket and it's you don't feel that heft in your pocket.
No, you don't feel the heft at all. And the other reason it's why that's important is that the front-facing display, the front screen, the thing that you see first when you take it out of your pocket before you fold it out, is almost exactly the same size and same quality as any other top-end smartphone. It's a 6.4-inch display, which is a good bit bigger than the display on the front of the Samsung folding phone and significantly bigger than the one on the Google Pixel folding phone. Now, that makes a difference because you don't, when you have a large folding phone, you don't always fold it out. If you're texting or WhatsApping, you don't fold the phone out to do that.
Right.
So you do actually want to use it as a regular smartphone an awful lot of the time. You're taking photos, you're taking video, you're doing WhatsApp, you know, text, calls. And it's really important that you have a really good front-facing display for that. And I think that the Honor front-facing display, all in all, is the best. And it's also, given the slimness, it makes for the best design and the best ergonomic performance.
Right. And even just on the cover display, which is the one that people will be using for the duration of their use, it's because the bezel is smaller. So there's less edge on it.
The bezel is the side of the phone. It's a little margin of the phone. Right. So the thinner the bezel, the thinner the edge, the bigger the screen can be. And on the on Honor's Magic V2, it's very, very slim indeed. Now, there's the other reason that it's, they're are two other reasons why it's very simple. One, it doesn't have an IP water resistance rating. In other words, if it falls into the toilet or in a swimming pool or in the bath, depending on what you're doing, this is going to be in more danger of actually getting damaged than the Samsung or the Google Pixel would be.
Right, it's more porous to water.
Yeah.
And
although I found it to be okay in rain. I used it in rain and it was fine.
I mean, like with most people, they're going to be protective of their phone in and around water anyway. So, I mean, it's a... I know it's they've stated it and it's a critique of it, but I think it's noteworthy.
The battery size, they haven't had to compromise the battery size because of the thinness. Often with very thin gadgets like laptops or phones or tablets, they have to compromise on the battery size. This is a 5,000 milliamp battery, which is comparable with the others. You'll fairly solidly, easily get a day's use out of it.
Right. My one critique of, I suppose, foldable phones in general is the fact that you're using the cover display the entire time and you're not, in fact, actually using the foldable out part of it. You're not treating it like an iPad,
so,
as it were.
Yeah, so that gets to the heart of why you might want a large fold-out phone. And there are some definite pros for that. The biggest pro is that you can multitask between different apps at the same time in a quicker way. It's a little bit analogous to if you're at work and you have two screens, you have two external displays. You can actually do more. You can kind of get through more. Now, not all apps play well with that, but apps like Microsoft Office do, apps like YouTube do. You know, you can, for example, you know, sit it down flat and then fold one side of it up and it basically stands up on itself and you can sit there and, you know, watch a YouTube video while you're typing out an email. And the rest of it.
This is the flex mode and they've made the hinge stiffer so it opens and closes more readily, like a laptop
so
almost.
So this is the reason. Don't be confused. Like, it is not a reason to get a large screen fold-out smartphone for watching movies or YouTube videos because the content you're watching is actually in a rectangular format anyway. It's not actually any bigger on an 8-inch fold-out screen than it is on, say, an iPhone 15 Pro Max. In fact, it's a little bit smaller on some of the large foldable phones. So that is not the reason to get one of these. You can, for sure, watch your content while doing something else if you like to multitask. That is a good reason. Or if you're on a Zoom call, for example, and you want to be pulling up some other app or mail to check something, that's also
you can split screen, right?
Yeah.
And they've made it because I believe the model before was you couldn't really do that.
No.
You couldn't multitask, and now you can do it third, two thirds, you know, and full screen.
Now there are some reasons why you might want to consider the other two that I've mentioned, the Google phone or the Samsung phone, other than this Honor phone. Overall, I would say that the operating system, the software, the interface, the version of Android you're looking at on this Magic V2 phone, it's good, it's fine, it works absolutely well, and for 95% of people, it will do exactly what they want it to, gets right to what you want it to do. It's not quite as advanced, though, as Samsung's operating system, or in particular, Google's operating system. Whenever you buy a Google Pixel phone, you are getting the purest, best version of Android possible. They usually get the first big Android updates as well. Although, funnily enough, Samsung was actually first to get a function called Circle to Search, which we talked about in an earlier podcast. So if you are one who, if you're an absolute user interface or software nerd, the others might have a compelling use case over this phone. I would also say that overall, the cameras on both of the other models are slightly better than the Honor Magic V2. So Samsung and Google both make excellent cameras for different reasons. Samsung, because the hardware it uses is superb. The lenses are great. The sensors are fantastic. Google's software is unparalleled in terms of its photo software. And Honor's is really good. Like the cameras on this, you have three rear cameras on it, and that's what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a 0.5 ultra wide, which is a 50 megapixel lens. I'm talking about a regular 1x wide, which is a 50 megapixel, and then there is a 2.5x telephoto, which can digitally zoom up to 40x. And that's, I think, a 20 megapixel. And that's probably the weakest of the bunch. It's good up to about 10x optical. After that, starts to get fuzzy. The other lenses on the other large folding phones are slightly better, but only slightly.
Right. And they have a feature that the Magic V2 doesn't, which is the selfie on the rear. If you want to take a selfie with the rear camera, it's going to sound vain, but it would be activated typically by waving, which it doesn't have in the Magic V2, and it's activated by smiling, which is a bit confusing.
I mean, a bit gimmicky.
And the sort of, but now you sort of basically have to tap the button rather than
the pain.
Yeah, I mean, pain. Life is hard.
I know. So, I mean, you're still talking about a huge amount of money, though. So this costs €2,000. Now you will get it for much cheaper if you're going on one of those 2-year contracts with one of the operators.
Right, it's down to 1,000.
You're going to get, the power is absolutely top-notch. You're 16 gigs of RAM, which is equals or is better than the other two phones. You're getting 512 gigs of storage, which is, on a phone you're spending this much on, you would expect. And you're getting the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2, which is last year's chip.
Yeah, it's not the Gen 3, so it's not as fast.
It's not the Gen 3, but it's, to be honest, that's still really fast. There's nothing you're going to use this phone for that's right. 16 gigs of RAM and, you know, a Snapdragon 8 Gen 2, you know, is not going to do.
Yeah.
So,
fair enough.
You're absolutely sorted there. Battery life, as I said, is
a whole day.
Easily a whole day.
And just on the hand feel, I'm concerned when it comes to foldable phones that because you have that cover display, that it's going to be kind of a glossy slip out of your hand kind of feel, texture wise.
So, two things about that. First of all, the back of it is a little bit more of a kind of a slightly matte feel, so it's not a gloss feel. The front, because it's a screen, it's the same issues as all the rest. And it is a little bit smudgy as well. It's a little bit smudgy. But in the box, it actually comes with a protective case as well for the rear of it. So if you can imagine, you take it out, you're looking at the screen in front of you, the matte casing on the back, you slip the sort of half case on the back. And then when you fold the phone out, it's sort of half protected, if you like. The rear of it's half protected. Yeah. But it works fairly well and doesn't really add any weight or hardly any width to it as well.
And I suppose in terms of that, the future of foldable phones,
Samsung's very bullish on it.
Right, that they're sure and they're banking on it and they're betting the house on it. But the idea that are they going to come down in price? Because €2,000 is laptop price.
They have to, yeah. Well, no, €500 laptop price.
Right. We were discussing Macs.
I get questions all the time, what's the best laptop to get? And if somebody says to me that all I do is at home, if they're like a pensioner and they do social media and email and, you know, browsing the web and shopping and all that sort of stuff, you can get not just an 8 gigabyte, a 16 gigabyte laptop with an Intel Core i5 chip, 256 or 512 storage for €599. So we are talking about 3 to 4 times the price of that laptop. Now, that laptop is a commoditized, it's 10-year-old technology. So you're not really comparing like to like. I mean, you might say it's half the price of a Vision Pro. You know, is that a way of making it sound cheap? Probably not, because the Vision Pro is really expensive and it's not here yet.
Right.
But will they come down in price? I think they'll have to. And the other big elephant in the room with folding phones in particular is that Apple hasn't gone there yet. And as much as Apple is not the only gatekeeper of the technology world, it does tend to be a very solid barometer in terms of what is catching on and what is working. And to date, it has not shown any solid signs of any imminent folding device. There are always rumors about folding iPad maybe, but I actually think it's partially because of the issue you brought up initially, which is the crease in the middle of the screen, which you can get over. And you do actually get over. And when you're actually navigating around the large screen, it doesn't really feel, your finger doesn't dip into a crease and dip back out of it. It doesn't, it doesn't disrupt the flow.
Yeah,
of your,
there's no discernible bump or anything
there
like
isn't,
that.
To be fair, but it's inelegant. And if you look at the amount of crap that Apple got for its notch, when people slagging it off for the aesthetics there, Apple tends not to do things that look like that look inelegant like that.
Right. They go for kind of a sophisticated,
they do.
Minimalist look.
Now, what I'm
kind
surprised
of
that
Steve
is,
Jobs
is that
look.
The flip format, which is the junior format, which is different, which is a little bit like the old, like Motorola, flip
right.
phones.
The Matrix,
the
Neo.
Phones. No, that was a click down. That was a snap down phone.
Okay.
So that was a Nokia phone and he hit a button on the side and it shot down out of the bottom of it. It didn't fold, didn't flip. It actually just extended and then you clicked it back into shape. The flip phones were very, very popular, very cheap, ubiquitous, died out because it was a physical touchpad and with a keyboard with physical buttons and then a small screen. And Samsung's the only one that's really done anything in the market. So Samsung's Z Flip 5, I believe, that is the best-selling folding phone of any type, and partly because it costs €1,200. But also because it's kind of, and I use this word advisedly, cute, quote unquote. So in terms of the markets they're going after, I mentioned the middle-aged, likes big, blocky, gadgety things, middle-aged man who go for the large folding
phone. First doctors,
yeah. The Flip is more aimed at a female market. And you can see why. Because it's just a prettier object. The colors it comes in are... they're more feminine color. I can see why they've marketed it to that demographic. And it has worked.
And
that is a better selling phone.
The Flip, just for a visual on it, screen on one side and buttons on, like, what does the Flip
So the Flip has,
actually contain?
It's like, when you see it, when you take it out of the box or out of your pocket, it's like a small, not quite square, but almost square. And then it flips out, one square flips out to make it a kind of a thin rectangle. And the entire inner thin rectangle bit is your screen. Now, there is an outer screen now as well on it, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think Samsung are going to make it so that the entire sort of half square, the entire square half of the outer thing will eventually be a screen. But that makes it a lot more expensive. And I don't think they can go above the €1,200, €1,300.
No, it becomes, mark. You know, sort of just unreachable for, you know, a young professional to...
Yeah, and I mentioned women. The problem is, if you look at a show like Euphoria, for example, if you look at what young women buy, overwhelmingly iPhones. Now, you cannot, and overwhelmingly they will be, they won't even really be iPhone Pros. They'll just be iPhone 14, iPhone 15. And they are sub-€1,000 phones. You cannot... It's very difficult to get into that market of sub-€1,000 phones that are ubiquitous among peer groups and convince somebody to spend €1,400 or €1,500 on a phone that isn't an iPhone.
Yeah.
Some people will do it, but it's hard
and
that demographic.
It has a different, you know, iOS system is a different, it's less intuitive, you know, all the things that, you know, where's the camera? It's not there. Like, that's kind of clunky. But where do you see Flip versus foldable going then? Do you see them sticking, like, since the Magic V2 came out, and I suppose these new models that we haven't really heard of, and they're less famous?
There's a half dozen Chinese ones that you can import, for example, but
and
some of those are cheaper. They're not that much cheaper though. You're struggling to get a large form folding phone for under a grand, and when you do, you're talking about pretty much zero customer support. You're kind of taking a bit of a chance. It's not like buying a Chinese car in Ireland, which has, you know, distributors and kind of guarantees and all that sort of stuff. And you're walking down physically to buy a place. You're literally buying it from Hong Kong or a grey market somewhere. So I think they're going to stick around for a while because Samsung is still in and around the biggest smartphone manufacturer in the world. It sort of jostles with Apple for that title. They remain committed to it, although they're not making as much noise about it as they were 2-3 years ago. They will be around for a while, and if Apple enters the market in 3 or 4 years' time, it will probably take off. But it's still seen as an early adopter item. And again, for the large format, it's really still more beneficial to people who maybe have a work task function or who like to multitask. Because as I said, and this is the big thing that people get confused about with, you know, large format folding phones, you don't get a bigger screen to watch your movie or your YouTube video on. You just don't. At home, when you buy a TV, it's 65-inch, it's bigger than 55-inch, 55-inch, bigger than 40, etc. That's not the case with a large screen fold-out phone. It's the same or smaller window for watching content because it's a square format that you're folding out to. Having said that, I would rank in order, 1, 2, 3. I would rank Honor's Magic V2, which is $19.99, then Google's Pixel Fold, which is $16.99, and I'm taking into account the price there. And then number three, I'd rank Samsung's Galaxy Z Fold 5, which is $21.50. And the reason I'd rank that three and Google Pixel 2 is that the Pixel is better value for what you're paying. So there you go. That is your guide to large folding phones. My thanks to JJ Clark, who joined me in this podcast and who also produced this episode, and to Gav Hennessy, who was on sound. I'm Adrian Weckler, and we'll talk to you soon.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.